Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. It is 8th December. Yes, we are finally in December month. It has been an awesome, phenomenal faith journey throughout the January to December. And as we close into 2023, we're very excited to come to you on episode 77. And today on air, we've got our beautiful Erica and myself, Angelina. And to end this year, we have got the wonderful topic called Die to Self. If anything I've learned this year, beautiful Erica, from beginning of January up to now, is how to die to self. Talk to us, beautiful Erica.
Thank you, precious Angelina, and hello to all our Gospel for Grampian listeners. Yes, in the flesh, one would say it's so hard, but you know, we aren't in the flesh anymore, because in Galatians 2:20 it says, I have been crucified with Christ, I no longer live. But the life I now live is the life that I have in the faith of Christ who gave his life to me. To die to self doesn't mean you seek to exist. It always means separation. In Romans 6 verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. This death Paul is referring to is eternal separation from God forever. In the same way, your old self was crucified when you gave your life to Jesus. So now, this is what it means to be born again. Your flesh, your old self, has lost dominion over you. You know, beautiful Angelina, it is so sad actually that so much of this information we don't know when we get born again, that the flesh truly is actually dead to self, and yet we live, and it is all about us. It's how I feel, the good feeling, and so sad that So many of us don't have real mentors to help us to say, look, today you've stepped into a new life, a life in Christ Jesus, a life where your old self, the I, has died, is buried. And you go through your life, and there are so many problems, difficulties, and all because the flesh has not yet died. We must know this, that our soul was never meant to rule. Our soul, being in alignment with God, was meant to rule so that your soul and body could rest and be in harmony with your Creator. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When the soul, the mind, the will, and emotions is ruling, there is no rest. There's only striving. And you know, that is so absolutely true. And then God comes in his great mercy and love. He allows difficulties to come into our lives, to get our attention. And when he's gotten our attention, I realize this is what it is all about. My life truly hidden in Christ. That I am in him and he is in me. And then, what does that mean? It means Christ lives in and through me. Erica. There is no Erica. And when I live in Christ and have my being in him, my life is at rest. I can walk in the midst of storms, in the midst of difficulties. I can have that peace, and I can take what Christ has given me, a victorious life of rest and peace. So then submit everything you have to God's Spirit. Let him rule in your heart. The crucified life, a die to self daily kind of life, leads to a spirit-filled life, which gives you abundant life. Thank you, Angelina.
I love your introduction, beautiful Erica. You know, I'm thinking about a lady that said to me on the 1st of January this year, she said, "You haven't died to self. The fact that other people are hurting and offending you and it's troubling you, it's because you're not dead to yourself." Because she said to me, "A dead person doesn't have feelings." And I love what you're saying. And the key word you mentioned was separated. When we separate ourselves from the flesh, then the things of this world does not interfere with the plans and the purposes of God in our life. And the reason why many people don't talk about this is because not many people do the reflection when they go through the process. I mean, I'm now a Christian since I was a child. I backslided for like about 10 years of my 50 years in on the earth. And in those 40 years, nobody ever told me, and I'm sure the same with you, Erica, nobody ever told us that this is what happens when you die in the flesh. Nobody tells us when you're born again, there's a circumcision and this is how the circumcision process goes through. We have to learn through trial and error, going over the same mountains over and over and over until we get to a point of maturity and say, "Lord, okay, no. I'm tired of going over the same mountains. You need to help me here." And then he takes us back to the book of Deuteronomy, of Exodus, to be able to explain to us, "When I took them out of Egypt, I brought them into the wilderness and I circumcised them. I literally cut off their flesh as a shadow for the New Testament to know that you need to withdraw yourself from the things of the flesh. Withdraw yourself from the carnal nature when you become born again in order to experience the fullness of God." And it had to take you and me, Erica, in this year of going through all of these challenges in order for us to understand what it is to die to the flesh, because not many people talk about it. Not many people go through the experience. And then I'm thinking, Erica, the Word of God says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Why few are chosen? Because only few will say, "I'm prepared to go through the wilderness until I'm ready to cross over the Jordan and get over to that walls of Jericho and patiently obey the Lord and do things that a normal person will not do when it comes to war." I bet you, Erica, that Joshua, had they not gone through the wilderness, there was no way he and Moses would be able to obey the instructions of, "Don't use your weapons, just use praise and worship and go around that very, very strong wall against that very, very strong, tall nation that's beyond that wall." Because, I mean, you and I remember, right, when Moses sent the spies to go and spy out the land of Jericho, it was flowing with the luscious fruit. The spies came back and said, "Wow, that land has got big grapes and lots of pomegranate fruits. Everything is luscious there. And also the people are very tall and we are like grasshoppers." So now you can imagine to get that kind of picture and then cross over the Jordan, still see the miracles, see all the miracles that God had done in Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, staying in the wilderness, never getting feeble, never getting sick, having heavenly food poured down to them, having rocks give them beautiful fresh water. They cross over the Jordan, they get to the wall of Jericho, and they listen to God. They are died to the flesh, meaning I'm not going to reason with my own understanding that singing around the walls of Jericho once a day and just worshiping the Lord and just one shout will bring down the walls. The flesh will never be able to submit to that. Do you agree?
Yes, absolutely, Angelina. What you said there is so true, because if we go into the New Testament, Jesus spoke repeatedly to his disciples about taking up the cross, which is actually an instrument of death, and following him. He made it clear that if any would follow him, they must deny themselves. Just listen to that. If you follow me, you deny yourself, which means giving up their lives. What are we doing? We say we are followers of Christ. Have we given up our lives? Are we willing to give up our lives? Spiritually, symbolically, and even physically if necessary, This was a prerequisite for being a follower of Christ, who proclaimed that trying to save our earthly lives would result in our losing our lives in the kingdom. But those who would give up their lives for his sake would find eternal life. And that we read in Matthew 16 and in Mark 8. Indeed, Jesus even went so far as to say that those who are unwilling to sacrifice their lives for him cannot be his disciples. Angelina, if you read this scripture in Luke 14, it really hits to the core of my being that I cannot be a disciple if I am unwilling to sacrifice my life for him. And that is truly what you said, that we have gone through this year. And God has allowed these incredible, difficult challenges in our lives for one reason, to get our attention, because he loves us, Angelina. He loves us. He wants us to be willing to sacrifice ourselves for him so that we can live a Christ-like life. Because I cannot live a Christ-like life if America is too much alive. I have to say, die to self. And you know what is so absolutely amazing, actually? That Galatians 2:20 is one of my life scriptures. I've been confessing three or four life scriptures that God has given me way back in 1983. 1982 when I got saved, and in 1983 he started giving me life scriptures that he wanted me to confess over my own life. And then I asked, Lord, why did it take so long for me to realize what it really means? That it hit home. And here, I said, even physically, if it's possible, and it did. You know, because our emotions, we experience emotions that we've never thought we had. And then I say, Lord, I thank you that you awaken all of this so that I am so aware how much alive Erica still is, so that I can intentionally say, Lord, here I am. Take my life. I am willing to die to self. And that is what I'm asking you, Gospel for Grampian listeners. Are you willing? Are you willing to give up your life for Christ, to follow him, to take up your cross? Remember, he has already walked your path. But to take up your cross is so easy because he has made it easy for you. He has given you a new life. Thank you, dearest Angelina.
Yes, yes, beautiful Erica. And the reason few are chosen, because few are submitting to that process of circumcision. Because, you know, I love what 1 Corinthians 2:14 says. So why do we need to die to self? And it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So the reason the Israelites had to go through the wilderness was for them to discern the spiritual things of God. Because for God to take them into the promised land, they needed to know God. And they were not circumcised, therefore they didn't have revelation of God, therefore they will not discern the things of God. Had Joshua not gone through the wilderness, Erica, he would not have discerned when God said to him, do not go there and expect to fight to break the walls of Jericho down. You need to go there and fight in the spirit. It is a spiritual warfare, not a physical warfare. And the spiritual warfare requires you to praise and worship the Lord. And so the things of God are done very differently to the flesh. And so in order for them to discern what God would have them do for every part of their life in the promised land, they had to walk in the wilderness and experience the Spirit of God, the nature of God, the goodness of God, and to know God in His Spirit, because God is Spirit and truth. And so we need to be cut off from the things of the flesh in order to experience the fullness of Christ. And that is why we die to self, in order for us to discern God who is Spirit. I love what 15 says. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to mere human judgments, because the human judgments are limited by what you see and is limited to the carnal, whereas the Spirit of God is able to judge your soul, judge your heart, judge your flesh, and judge the things that are natural. So when we are walking in the Spirit of God and we die to self, we are able to discern those things in the spiritual dimension as well as the things in the natural. Therefore, when we look at a person, we look beyond the carnal and we are able to discern the heart of that person. Jesus could discern the heart of people because he was walking in the Spirit even though he was in the flesh. So the circumcision is really dying to self, where we are putting off the old man, like Erica said, and we are saying, God, we are going to walk in the Spirit. I love what verse 16 says of 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, Erica, so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If we do not circumcise the carnal nature, we will never be able to exercise the mind of Christ that he's given us. One of the armors is, I have the mind of Christ. Without being circumcised, without dying to self, I will not have the mind of Christ. I will have the mind of Angelina. So dying to self enables us to think like Christ. Therefore, we are all knowing. Enables us to work the way God, Jesus worked. This is coming again to that example that we've been speaking over the last weeks, Erica, where we said that Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father say. Jesus had the mind of the Father. Jesus had the vision of the spiritual world. Therefore, he could see what the Father did and walk in the Spirit. Therefore, he did not fulfill what he saw in the carnal. So for us to demonstrate that life that Jesus showed we can do, we have to see Christ and do what Christ wants us to do. We have to hear Christ and say what he wants us to say. In the carnal, we cannot see the spiritual. We cannot discern the things that are spiritual. So dying to the flesh means we can see what Jesus wants us to see and do it, and we can hear what he wants us to hear and say it. So do we need to die to the self? Of course, or else we will never discern the kingdom of God which is within us. We have to die to self, because self is selfish. When we die to self, we become godish, meaning we become like God. We walk in the Spirit and we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is exactly what Erica said earlier on. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And when the new is here, Erica, it is no longer we who live. It is Christ living in us. His life lives in us. Therefore, his faith works in us. His goodness works in us. The reason we battle to exercise faith is because we're trying in the flesh to work it out. But if we die to self, then his faith works in us. Just like the faith of the Father was working in Jesus, because he said, I do what I see the Father do. That is faith in action. Seeing what the Father is doing and doing it in the natural. I hear and say what the Father tells me to say. That is faith in action. But if we don't walk in the Spirit, how can we have the God kind of faith? Talk to us, Erica.
Wow, precious Angelina, you have said so much for thought to really meditate. And the question arises, how do Christians actually die to self? And I'm sure there are a few of our listeners that actually ask that question. Because the Christian lifestyle is intended to be one where the believer lives not in service to self, but in service to God. One reason we come to this conclusion is because of an important lesson Jesus taught in the book of Matthew. We find it in chapter 22. Jesus gives crucial insight to those of the Christian faith. He shares the greatest commandments. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That is the scripture I was just mentioning a while ago. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me in Galatians 2:20. One way to die to self is by living more like Christ and less like ourselves, like you said, precious Angelina, to live a Christ-like life. This means that we try to incorporate more Christ-like traits into our way of thinking and being. Literally, this means more of God and less of us. To be crucified with Christ is to allow our flesh to die and make room for the Holy Spirit within. On the cross, Jesus died for our sins, thus dying to ourselves in this way is to cast off your sins or let them die. Even though we live our lives in the flesh, satisfying basic human needs, what is more important is satisfying the Spirit. And you know what? We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. Should our spirit be anorexic, not being fed with the word of God, our soul would be in control, and then our body follows our soul. That is when we live in the flesh. But if we allow our spirit to feed our spirit with the word of God, as it says here, that we come to know who he really is, to have fellowship with him, to have an intimate relationship with him, our spirit then starts to become stronger and stronger and stronger. And then eventually our spirit will dominate our soul and the body will follow our spirit. And then we will walk a Christ-like path. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31, I face death every day. As surely as I may boast about you, brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus our Lord. That scripture is so heavy. The daily death we face is as literally as it is figurative. The Bible states firmly that the flesh and spirit are oppositional to one another. Therefore, every day we make the choice to live according to the callings of our spirit or that of our flesh. Which one Jesus desires for us is clear. This again emphasizes less of ourselves and more of God. And you know what, Angelina, what I've heard one day? We sing and we say, Lord, I want more of you. But I heard this profound sermon. And in that, the person said, you know, when we have God, he gives all of himself to us. He's not one that just gives little bits of himself to us. It's actually us that must give more and more and more of ourselves to him. Then we will experience the vastness of who he is. And that was so profound for me, Angelina, knowing that, yes, when we come home, when we come back and say, Lord, I want you to be my Lord. He gives himself completely, totally, everything of who he is to us. It is me. It is I. It is us. We just give little bits to him because we still do something here to gratify the flesh. It is actually saying, Lord, I want to give more of myself to you. Help me, Lord. Where am I limiting you by not giving everything of myself to you? And then in Romans 6, verse 11, it says, so you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Being dead to sin indicates that we have separated ourselves from sin enough that the consequences of such behavior leaves our lives. Though it is an ideal state of being and not one anyone will ever manage, however, we are nonetheless called to strive toward this ideal. And that is what I know. to follow Christ and to be Christ, to become Christ-like. It's not an overnight microwave recipe. It's a daily walk. It's a daily choice. It's daily to say, Lord, I give more of myself to you. Here I am. Let your will be done in my life. Sin separates us from God, meaning the two greatest commandments are unable to be fulfilled when we choose sin over following the Spirit. Therefore, erasing sin from our lives will further help us to think of ourselves less. And that is so true, Angelina, don't you think? That we think too much of ourselves, saying, I wonder what he thinks of me. I wonder what they say about me. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. And my desire is Gospel for Grampian listeners, that Jesus will become so obvious in my life that people won't see Erica anymore, but that they will see the light of Christ shining, and that they will see the glory of the Lord, and that they will be drawn not to me, Erica, but that they will be drawn to Jesus Christ, that they will truly see him, experience him tangibly in and through me. Thank you, Angelina. What are your...
Yes. Yes, beautiful, Erica. You know, I'm thinking you said something so profound, that when we become born again, it is a transition that we have to start working on. And because we get so carried away by the conviction at that time, we forget that from that day, the new life begins. And that every day we have to become conscious to eat that spiritual food, because the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. So in order to die to self, I believe that when we become born again, and if you're a Gospel for Grampian listener that has just recently been born again, start with these very two important things, because in dying to self, you have to forgive daily and you have to have word daily. So when you begin to understand that our Father who art in heaven prayer, you will search for that daily manna from heaven, because you need it. If you don't need it, you're going to die. If they didn't get that con from heaven when they were in the wilderness, they wouldn't have food. They didn't need, Erica, they didn't need the quail. God gave them manna because that was more than enough. That was more than enough. They were the ones that were moaning. The Israelites wanted flesh. They wanted the flesh. They wanted meat. And God was saying, no, the daily manna is enough for you. But because they were nagging and moaning for the food like they had in Egypt, God then blew quail into their camp. But the daily bread was more than enough to sustain them in the wilderness. And so that was talking about spiritual nourishment, spiritual food. So as a born-again Christian, newly born again, you can go through your wilderness just like Jesus did the minute he got baptized. Imagine that, Erica. The minute Jesus got baptized at the age of 30, he immediately got out of the water, and immediately the Holy Spirit took him to the wilderness. And he was there 40 days. And he was tempted, but he had the word of God. And he was able to overcome the temptation, and immediately he could go and fulfill the will of the Father. He was demonstrating to us that the minute you are baptized, you are buried in Christ Jesus, baptized in Christ Jesus, and you rise up. When you go into the wilderness, the word of God, which is your daily manna, is all you need to be able to overcome the dying of the self in order to walk in the Spirit. That is why he says in Romans 6:4, for we died and we're buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. So for new Christians that are just listening on here, don't wait like us to be 50 years old or 60 years old or be 20 years a Christian to figure out this truth. The minute you become born again, you must go into a place where you need to be hungry for the word of God. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. When you begin to develop yourself by reading the word of God, your spirit man will overflow with word that will renew your mind. Because without the word of God, your mind, your soul cannot be renewed. When you have the word of God in your spirit man, the Holy Spirit brings revelation to it. It renews your mind, and therefore you think like Christ, you have the mind of Christ, and then your heart begins to receive the word of God, and out of the abundance of your mouth, you begin to think like Christ, speak like Christ, live like Christ. Therefore, the life you now live, you live in Christ Jesus. You begin to no longer like the things that you used to like. It is a process. So it's easy to become a Christian, be born again, but still walk like Erica says in the carnal, because you are missing the recipe of success as a Christian, where the minute you become born again, the word of God must be your daily manna. And once you get that right, then you can leave the wilderness like Jesus did and immediately go into the will of God and the purposes of God for your life. And what happens for most Christians, Erica? They just become born again, and for lack of mentorship, they go to church on a Sunday and they think that the word of God is only for Sunday. Praise and worship's only for Sunday. And therefore they are lukewarm Christians or baby Christians all their life. And then you get those that get into the wilderness. They get so excited. They've got some, you know, nice Christian friends around to help them. But once they're in the wilderness, they don't exercise the patience that God has given them for the wilderness period, because faith is perfected in patience. And so when they're in the wilderness, they become impatient like the Israelites, and they start moaning, grumbling, complaining. And because they don't have the right people in their space that have been there, done that, they get out of the wilderness and run back to Egypt, and they backslide and they become lukewarm Christians. So the recipe for success of dying to self is by making sure that you have daily bread every day. And like Erica said, having the right people in your space that will say to you, that will discern for you. The tribes of Issachar were necessary. The tribes of Issachar were necessary because when they were conquering the lands that God had given them, the tribes of Issachar could have divine strategy for the people of Israel. For Israelite, they needed strategy. So they could discern the times, they could discern the seasons and help the Israelite camp because of the discerning. So when you are in the wilderness gospel for Grampian listeners, you can't be there alone. Even Jesus himself was not alone. The word of God says that the angels comforted him. So you need comfort when you're in the wilderness. If you're alone, you're in trouble. Because the enemy can put nonsense in your head when you're having a low moment, you're in trouble. So ensure that when you're born again and you have the word of God, be assured the enemy will come to rob and steal and kill and take the... His idea is to take the word of God out of you, because he knows the minute you start acting the word of God, you're in trouble. I mean, I love what James says. James says that believing the word of God alone is dead. You need to... Faith comes with works. So the devil comes to steal the word in the believing stage, because he knows when you are going to do it, which is works, you're in trouble. He's in trouble, not you, because faith with works brings the promises of God to pass. So the devil also believes God, but he doesn't act on God's word because he's rebellious. So believing God's word is not enough for faith to work. Because faith without works is dead. And so when you believe God, you are to do his word. And how you do his word is through patience being perfected. And so in the wilderness, God allows you to be there, removing all the things that will keep you busy. He will put you in a barren place, a place where he's going to shake every area of your life, where your foundations that are established in the world system is going to be shaken. Everything of Egypt in your life, gospel for Grampian listeners, in the wilderness must get shaken. If it doesn't get shaken, then you can't be living a dead life. You cannot die to self, because the self must be crucified. And so in order for the self to be crucified, God will shake all the Egypt out of you. So if you have been looking for Egypt to be the confidence of your provision, then God's going to shake your provision and your faith in the world system. If your family was established in the world's way, God's going to shake your family life to build it in the foundation of Christ Jesus. Every foundation that you built in Egypt will be shaken in order for it to be established on the Word of God. And once it is established in the Word of God, then you are dead to self. Then you are ready to be used by the Maker. And that's what happened to Jesus in the wilderness, Erica. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life was tested in his life. And because he had the Word of God as his foundation, 40 days was enough and he could go and do his work. The longer we take to overcome those tripping away, the circumcision, the longer we will be in the wilderness. So we need to submit to the process of God and have the right people around to build us up in order for us to be able to say, we are crossing over the Jordan, and if God says to us, don't use your weapons, just go in there with praise and worship, we will submit to his request and never question the things and the instructions of God, because the Bible says the things of God are foolish to the flesh. Therefore, you have to be dead to self in order to submit to everything God tells you to submit to, because you cannot submit and obey God's instructions if you're not dead to the self, because Erica said it so beautifully. The flesh is in opposition to the spirit. And if you're not dead to the flesh, you'll always oppose the instructions of God's word. Talk to us, Erica.
So true, precious Angelina. The enemy is so subtle, and please, I don't want to take anything from Egypt with me any longer. And the question arises, when will I get to the place where I can say, not my will, but your will be done? As we know, and you've mentioned it also, Angelina, that when Jesus was in the desert, and not only that, he had a consistent prayer life, and he always resisted the enemy with the word of God spoken to him. As you said, that is the only food that we will eat that will sustain us against the enemy's tricks and things that he has against us. So now, the question also arises, what does it look like in practice to die to self? Dying to oneself does not involve sacrifice. It actually involves more of seeking God, seeking his will. Dying to oneself involves being motivated by love. And Angelina, you said it so beautifully, that to be able to answer to the call of Jesus, to be obedient to him, to follow him. If I am motivated by love, I will obey God. From the morning till the night, I will not be able to think of myself, because yes, I can obey God out of fear, which opposed to love. But the obedience of the believer needs to be motivated by love. So I must strive to obey God because I love him. And why do I say I love him? Because he first loved me. While I was yet a sinner, God loved me. While I was yet a sinner, he gave his son to die for me, to come and save me. The other motivation is dying, or dying to oneself involves mercy. You know, I think this is so apt for most of us, is that when we're in traffic and someone cuts you off in traffic, what kind of emotion comes up? But God says, have mercy. We must choose to be merciful. We must choose to do the right thing. Common sense tells me that sinful responses produce painful consequences. The more we practice doing the right thing, the less we will suffer from doing the wrong thing. Therefore, choose mercy and experience God's blessing instead. The other thing that is so important in the life of a Christian, a follower of Christ, is humility. And you know what? Humility is the path to death. Because when I am humble, it's not about myself. I don't allow my emotions to rise up to say, I'm angry, or look what that one said, or even when I'm sick, or even when I haven't got enough food. To be humble is to totally allow Christ to take over. Because Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death. You know, whenever I read that in Philippians 2:8, that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death. In death, he fully surrendered his will to the will of the Father. In death, he gave up himself with its natural reluctance to drink the cup. He gave up his life. If it had not been for his boundless humility, counting himself as nothing except as a servant to do and suffer the will of God, he never would have gone to the cross, and we would still be in our sins. Now, Gospel for Grampian listeners, you might say, but that was Jesus. Can I just remind you that Jesus came as a human being to earth? He left his deity in heaven so that he can come and we can follow him, because everything he did, it is possible for us to do. Where is the secret? I believe it with all my heart. It's because Jesus had an intimate relationship with the Father. He said, I won't speak anything if I don't hear my Father say it to me. I won't do anything if I don't see my Father show it to me. So this is totally, totally surrendered. His whole being was surrendered to the Father. And whenever anyone judged him, or whenever anyone came against him, he would not retaliate. He would give it over or hand it over to the one who judges righteously. And that is where he found his peace and his safety. And that is where we, as followers of Christ, find our safety and our peace, knowing that our Father is our protection. Because of Christ, we are hidden in him. And no matter what people might say, or what circumstance or challenge might come to us, may I just share, Angelina, that at this moment, I am going through a process of dying to self amongst people. If you're alone and you have to go through the process where you're alone, but I am in a public situation where I'm daily amongst people, where I have to die to myself, where I have to say to myself, flesh, you are not allowed to rise up, because Jesus is the one that gets the glory. He is the one that will bring the victory. In fact, he has already brought the victory. I have to walk in it, and I will see it manifest. Andrew Murray, when we ask the question, how do we die to ourselves, he puts it this way, and just listen, the death itself is actually not our work. It is God's work. In Christ, we are dead to sin. The life that is in us has already gone through the process of death. What do you say about that, Angelina?
You're hitting it. There were so many golden nuggets you spoke about, so I'm going to start with the latter one first. It is grace. My grace is sufficient for you. I'm thinking about what Paul said when you're talking about your situation, and I think about my situation. He said, Lord, this is a thorn in the flesh and I cannot cope. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. The dying to self is God's grace, because in your human ability, you can never do it. That is why when you circumcise yourself from the world and you walk in the Spirit, it is easy. The process of cutting is difficult, and that is why God's grace is there to enable us to walk through this process. I remembered about a month ago, I went through something extraordinary. extremely, extremely difficult. I thought I'd never cope. And God gave me this one word, Erica. He said to me, I'm giving you grace. Take it. Take it. I felt this heavy weight of grace hit on me. And when that grace hit on me, I don't know. I'm at the last day of the situation that I'm going through. And it seems like it was an easy walk. But I can tell you, in the beginning, I thought I was going to collapse. I thought I was never going to cope. I thought I'd never see the end of it. I thought it was going to feel like 1,000 years. And now I'm almost at the total end of it. And it feels like, did I ever go through that? How did it happen? You asked the question, Erica. It is God's grace. That is why he says, Erica, obedience is better than sacrifice. When you do the sacrifice, it costs you. You feel it. You feel the pain. You feel the sacrifice. But if you go with obedience, you don't feel it, because grace helps you through the process. So I can encourage you, Gospel for Grampian listeners. The Word of God says obedience is better than sacrifice. Our job is to obey, and grace helps us through the process. But if you try in your flesh, it will feel like you are sacrificing your life. And when you're dead to self, there's no your life. It is all Christ's life. So if you start the wilderness period looking like you are giving a sacrifice to God when you are going through it, let me tell you, it is then you are making it about me, myself, and I. That means there's no dying to self, because you are counting the costs of the sacrifice. You are counting the cost of the journey. That is exactly what happened to the children of Israel. When they went through the wilderness, a big part of them died in the wilderness because they saw it as a sacrifice. They saw it as they doing God a favor by being in the wilderness. Therefore, they complained, they moaned, they groaned. But Joshua, Caleb, and Moses knew that it was God doing them a favor by taking them to the wilderness. Therefore, very few of them in the wilderness obeyed. And those that obeyed saw the promised land. And how did they obey? Grace came upon them. Why did Joshua and Caleb, when they went through with the spies, saw themselves as giant? They saw themselves as giants because grace enabled them to go through the process. But if we then look at it as a sacrifice we're making for God when we live our Christian life, then we will always live as victims, not as victors. Talk to us, Erica.
You know, that is so profound, Angelina. So profound. Because there's a scripture that says God is not looking for sacrifice. He's looking for obedience. And I just want to mention one other a person, George Miller, known for his great faith and ministry to orphans in the 19th century in England, was asked the secret of his fruitful service for the Lord. And you know, this is what he said. There was a day when I died, utterly died. As he spoke, he bent lower and lower until he almost touched the floor. He said, I died to George Miller. His opinions, his preferences, his tastes, and his will. Died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and friends. And since then, I have studied only to show myself approved unto God, the same that Paul has said. And when I read this statement of George Miller, and since then, I have studied only to show myself approved unto God. You know, this is our life, being dead to self. We don't show ourselves approved to men anymore. It's not men's opinions about me any longer. It's to show myself approved unto God.
Amen, amen. You know, Erica, I want to bring this home again for our Gospel for Grampian listeners. Don't be like Saul that made the mistake and began to count the sacrifice and he lost his kingship. He listened to his men and he took some spoils for them. And then he said, let's give some sacrifice to God. But God's instructions was obey, not sacrifice. When we count the sacrifice, we actually make it about ourselves. And that is the biggest mistake of actually dying to self. You begin to become prideful because I did it. It cost me. It cost me my life. It cost me my family. It cost me this. It cost me that. No, that is sacrifice. That is not giving, dying to self. You must not get to a point where you say, it cost me, because then you are not dead to self. You are alive to the carnal because you are counting the cost of your sacrifice to serve God. You need to let go of self. Therefore, you have to walk in total obedience. And that's exactly why the disciples were so effective in doing their ministry. The minute they got baptized on the day of Pentecost, the word of God says, Erica, in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the church expanded. Fear of the Lord, that means obedience. I love you, therefore I obey. That's what you said, Erica. Obedience comes out of love, not fear. Sacrifice comes out of fear. But obedience comes out of love. And so in obedience of the Lord, they feared the Lord. And comfort of the Holy Spirit, the church expanded. So when we die to ourselves, we allow ourselves to obey the Lord because we love Him more than life, more than ourselves, more than anything and everyone. We love God more than our own bodies, spirit, souls, emotions, passions, desires. Therefore, the comfort of the Holy Spirit helps us to live by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says it so beautiful, Erica. This I then say, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts after against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And they are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, hearsay, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're walking in the flesh. They're not walking in the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So when you are walking in the Spirit, when you live in the Spirit, you walk it, meaning you're an expression of God. Your words are an expression of God. Your actions are an expression of God. Your emotions are an expression of God. And that is what he was talking about here, Paul, when he was saying, walk in the Spirit. Because our spirit man is born again. But our flesh and our which is our physical body and our soul needs to be renewed. That is why he says, walk in the Spirit. Meaning your life in the flesh must be in the Spirit, because the Spirit is renewed, but the flesh, which is your physical body and your soul, is not renewed. And he's saying when you're living in your Spirit, in the Spirit of God, when you are one with the Spirit of God and you're allowing the Spirit of God to dominate your emotions, your mind, your will, your emotions, and your physical flesh, you are now walking in the Spirit. So there's one thing to live in the Spirit, Erica. There's another thing to walk in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit is you and your spirit man is one with the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is where your spirit man is dominating your mind, will, and emotions and your flesh. And it is the walking in the Spirit that is the dying of the flesh. Talk to us, Erica.
I just love what you say or the explanation that you give when you say walking in the Spirit to express Christ. I just love that. I really and truly love that. That really, really touched my heart. I just want to share another great man of God, Bill Bright. He was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. And Galatians 2:20 was also a scripture for him. But in 1951, him and his wife signed a contract to become slaves of Christ. Now, this is what he says. He says, I daily reaffirm this contract. So holy living, that is what he says also, is involves a daily decision to surrender to the Lordship of Christ. This is exactly what you've been saying, to be in Christ, that he is Lord over you, to live in this, to walk in the Spirit. It involves yielding our will to God and adopting his perspective. If you want to see what it looks like to live a holy life, examine the life of Jesus, as I've just said previously. He is the visible, here we go again, Angelina, he is the visible expression of God's holiness. God wants our minds and hearts to be filled with his holy qualities. As our lives are transformed, we will project the light of his holiness into the darkness of our evil world. Real life, which is abundant life, begins with dying to self. Dying to self is a liberating action that produces joy and peace. And Angelina, may I just share with our Gospel for Grampian listeners a prayer that I have now started saying over myself daily. And this is, and I just want to, Lord, bring in Angelina, the whole crew of Women of Africa Care, plus the Grampian for, Gospel for Grampian listeners as well. And I want to say, dear Lord, our allegiance to you will be tested today. Right now, we are stating our faithfulness to you. You are the one we love forever. At the same time, we will clearly state that we want nothing to do with serving ourselves. We have had enough to do with that selfish ego of ours that tries to get all the attention it can. Your principles of love and giving are what we want. Radiate in our lives through acts and words of kindness. Forgive us of our sin and cleanse us. We make ourselves totally empty of self so that you can fill us with your humble paths of love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Angelina.
Erica, I absolutely love what you said. We are the visible expression of God. That is what dying to self is all about. Gospel for Grampian listeners, as we've come to the end of our session, it went so fast because we were having so much of fun. I think let us conclude our topic for today, die to self, by saying that you know you are dead to self when you are a visible expression of Jesus Christ. And that is what we want you to bring home today. To die to self, we all need to be a visible expression of Jesus Christ. And so, Erica, I just want to pray today for the Gospel for Grampian listeners. Dear Father in heaven, in adding to Erica's prayer, I pray that you will give our listeners the grace to submit to the Holy Spirit and to the obedience of God in order to complete the process of dying to self so that we can walk in the fullness of all that God has prepared for us. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that Christ has called us to do. And in order for us to do that good works, Lord, we have to die to self. So my prayer with Erica today is that we will die to self so that we can be an expression, a visible expression of the living God as ambassadors on this earth. In Jesus' name, I proclaim and declare that in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, every single one of the listeners will expand the kingdom of God on the earth as it is in heaven, so it is in our lives on earth, in Jesus' name. From Erica and I, Gospel for Grampian listeners, we say be blessed. Until next week, we love you and allow the Spirit of God to help you die to self so that you can be an expression, a visible expression of the living God, in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.